Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Sunday is brought to you by Emberforge Consulting, thoughtful marketing and digital learning built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. The following is a non-broadcast podcast interview for Art on the Air.
We would like to welcome Lynn Knight to Art on the Air. Lynn is a dancer, dance teacher, studio owner, a theater choreographer and director, event producer, and author of dance books for children. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Lynn. It's very nice meeting you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. This is going to be a lot of fun.
We've never worked together, but we seem to have mutual friends in theater and everything like that for years, so we've touched around each other. But anyway, it's great to have you on the show and talk about your kind of storied career. And how we started off is tell us about your origin story, how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about Lynn.
Well, I definitely took the wrong way. The long way, not the wrong way, the long way. It was absolutely the right way, but I just had a couple of detours, you know, going way back. My mom was a jazz musician. And then after several years of that, she turned to her church and was a musician, played for her church for over 40 years. So
what was her instrument?
She was a piano. She went to, I believe it was the University of Illinois for her music degree. And so she was a piano player. And she went for that. Then I think she played maybe 40 years in her church. And then my father was not a musician, but he and the whole side of my family were professional wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And that is a whole completely different life and a different story. So I really have a colorful
family. So tell it. Tell us what the household was like.
Well, in my parents, they divorced. You know, I was probably 9 years old, but in the early years, you know, they were all music lovers and I was all around music. And my uncles and my cousins, they were all athletes along with my father. And then, you know, I really don't know why the split. I can imagine, but my parents split and my father and went into the wrestling business with my uncles and my cousins, and my mother stayed with her music. So that's kind of a background. And she would insist that I would learn piano. And I had, you know, I was blessed with it, but it kind of turned on me a little bit. I had such an ear for music and musicality. She would give me piano lessons at a young age, and I didn't want to be bothered with it. You know, I'd rather go outside and roll around and do my acrobats. So I would mock what she would play for me. And then I would practice all week because that was fun. And then when I had my piano lesson, I would look at that sheet music and pretend I was reading music, and I really wasn't reading at all. So I did not learn that properly. And then when I got into
your rebellion, right?
When I got into the theater business, it kind of got back on me, because the first time I was handed a score for a play to do choreography for, now what? So I had to learn all over. But, you know, it was great having the mix. It was a good variety. You know, my father's side was all about the audience and screaming and yelling and excitement. And I thought that was exciting, too. So that, along with my music ability, kind of turned me into the dance life. I don't know how I got there, but it was a long story.
You know, wrestling is just its own form of ballet.
Entertainment, yeah.
It is. It's just the whole world of entertainment. And, you know, I was mesmerized by that. And, you know, about that time way back, Mary Martin's Peter Pan was out. And I fell in love with Tiger Lily and decided I was going to be like her. And that's why I became a dancer.
Wow. You know, we have a similar story. I know my mom was a musician and everything, so I had piano lessons, organ lessons, and what I would sometimes do, and it made my mom very aggravated, I would have my organ teacher or piano teacher play the thing first, and because I have, I think, a very good ear, I would play it that way. I could kind of still read music, and I did with my musical career, but like you, I was sort of one that said, you know, could you play that once for me? And then I would sort of then play it by ear more than I would read the music. I would look at the notes, but, you know, so you and I have a similar background with that.
That's exactly right. Did you get caught like I did?
Oh, yeah. My mom was at my lessons, and she would tell the teacher, don't let him do that. Make him read the music.
Oh, that's so true. It's, you know, we're really blessed to have, you know, that musicality inside of us. That's what makes us an artist in all forms. I don't think it matters what kind of an artist. It's a matter of what road we go down. But if you're an artist, you're an artist. And we're lucky. But sometimes you got to be careful. It can come back at you.
What do you mean?
Well, just like getting caught by not reading your music.
Oh,
and
that okay.
Early enough. And then someone, you know, 25 years later, handing you a score in paper form and say, here, we're glad you're here to choreograph this musical. Well, then I was stuck. I had to hurry up and learn all over again, you know. And my children, I think, even though they all went down different paths, still they have artistic, natural artistic powers in them. I don't know what you want to call it, but, and they all ended up going down different roads, but I think it all stemmed from being artistic, you know, athletes and musicians. One's a musician, one's an athlete, one loves, you know, rock and roll trivia. You know, they just, growing up in that environment, especially with me, they had really no choice. But let me give you a shout out. I've had four children. Couldn't be more proud of all of them. My oldest son, Jeff, is he's got that amazing work ethic, you know, from the Midwest. He just recently retired. He's been in the mills for over 30 years and extremely devoted to his wife. But now he's enjoying his retirement and doing all the things he loves to do. So he, in his young life, of course, I had him on stage in recitals. Of course I did. But, you know, he was an athlete and that didn't last long. You know, he had different thoughts. And my daughter, Janine, we lost her to a higher power several years back, but she was a gymnast. And she grew up in my dance studio, of course, and she went down the road of gymnastics. And then my young son, Michael, he is an extremely intelligent producer and director of several nationwide tours, and he's just a complete talented artist, you know, in my line of work. I couldn't be more happier with them than my grandson, Taylor. He's here in the Midwest. He's a brilliant surgeon and such a scholar, but the other side of that, he is extremely interested and loves rock and roll trivia. You ask him anything and he could tell you. So kind of makes you wonder what he listens to, you know, in the operating room. Right. And then my other grandson, Aaron, he's living in Southern Florida. Complete coincidence that the love of his life is a dance studio owner. I did not come from me. I have no idea how that ended up, but they're very happy. He's was an athlete too, high school football player, college football player, 3 years of professional football in Europe. And you know what happens when love strikes, you know, everything changes. But now he's an avid golfer and he's in the management business and really loves Southern Florida. I don't get to see him very often because of that.
Let's talk about you and your dance career. So how did that, take us, what happened after high school? So were you dancing?
After high school, I was trying to figure out, I came from a broken family, so I really didn't have the guidance, but trying to figure out, get a job. My mother always from the 50s, her goal in life was for me to find a husband and have children. That's her mindset where she grew. And I knew that there was more to it. So I did some professional dancing, not for very long. I had a family at a young age. And I realized that it was going to take much more than being a professional dancer to be able to raise my family as a single mother. So that's when I went into teaching. I went into theater. I went into doing choreography because I knew I had to have a stable home. So actually, my first dance studio, I had a partner here locally there in the Portage Mall when it was still a Portage Mall. And I met someone. She was as passionate as me for dance. And we partnered and opened our very first dance studio in that Portage Mall. And we had a great time together. And that's what started it all. We were only together a couple of years, though. We artistically did not, blend real well. But when we split and went into our own dance studios, it wasn't enough to ruin our friendship. We are still friends to this day. And she's still in Portage. But I went to Valparaiso and opened my studio there. I was there for 18 years. What's the Lynn Knight Dance Center?
Okay.
And I was probably there 18 years, maybe. I ended up running a production company, doing shows overseas, having a competitive dance team and 30 years worth of judging dance competitions. I was really blessed that I was able to have my career and still be able to raise my family. So I was there for 18 years and then went to Merrillville Hobart and spent several more years. So that whole thing lasted about 35 years.
Wow.
I was in the dance studio.
So
business.
Lynn, was it primarily ballet or did it include that jazz background and maybe some modern contemporary?
All of it. It was a well-rounded studio. I was an all-around dance studio owner. And of course, it was much more popular to be a choreographer and producer in the contemporary and jazz and tap genres as opposed to ballet. But of course, we always have to work on the ballet.
Right.
So it was an all around thing. And I was able to travel all around from Russia. I did a couple in Japan. I did several in Aruba. So I was just very lucky to be able to travel all out and do that. And then, as my kids were then more grounded here in high school and such is when I came into Star Theater and started choreographing and directing for them. I was there 11 years. I did several for them. So everything just kind of fell in place for me. And I just left very often, but I always came back. My children were grounded here. This is what they loved. And so I knew I had to be grounded, and this was my home base. Then everyone grew up and left me. Then never came back.
You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
Well, I was going to talk to you about your theatrical career. You touched on it briefly, but making the transition from being a pure dance slash choreographer and then moving into the genre of theater, talk about that. The other thing, too, and this is just another side thought, is the lifespan of a dancer in the performing arts is usually relatively short. I mean, very few people do a Chita Rivera in dancing well into their 60s the way she did. But you know, why don't you hit those two subjects? You talk a little bit more about the transition from just being doing dance type things into actually storytelling with theatrical things.
Well, I knew when you have a dance studio that's very popular, and then you know you go into competitive dance that really doesn't have to tell a story.
Right.
But I knew there was more, and I have always. That's why I went into more production, because I would always have a story to tell, depending on the subject that we were doing. And that was before I got into theater. And I always had that in my mind that you know, there has to be more to it. You have to dance with purpose at some point. And I try to share that with all my generations of dance students. You know, you can't just, you know, run to California and do a dance video and expect for that to be your life career. So I tried to share that in my dance studio as I went on and did more. And then someone contacted me, I believe. I have to really think back, but from the tour I did in the USSR, someone from STAR had known about that and invited me up to get into theater. Other than summer stock in Southern Florida, when I came into STAR, that was my first experience. And it ended up lasting for 11 years.
Yeah. Well, and I saw some of those productions, too. In fact, your last one was the Jesus Christ Superstar. I remember catching that one. That was one of the last theatrical shows that they put on there. So.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was the last one.
Yeah.
I think it was a year later when they went down. Broke my heart.
Yeah, it broke a lot of people's heart because it was the only large venue for different types of acts. And you know, there's talk of something to replace it, but right now nothing has really happened and everything. So do you have advice for someone starting a career in dance and like someone's coming along? And you probably have given this advice to people, what to do, what to study, what to pursue, and then, you know, later life in dancing, dancers tend to move into choreography and things. What kind of things can they prepare themselves for?
I try to teach all of my students to be a well-rounded performer, because dance has evolved. You know, before there was ballet and there was tap, you know, and there was all the different genres within dance, and you had your yearly dance recital, but now there are several roads that you can go down for dance. You can go to college, you can stay with competitive, you can be working in precision, you can be working in interpretive dance, you can go into musical theater. There's such a wide range now of dance options, which is a great thing. I love that so much, but I don't think they're all being traveled. You know, if you happen to be, I think, from a studio that is strictly competitive, and your goal is competitive dance, then you're going to go off to college, you're going to be a competitive dancer. And then after that, if that's the only training you've ever had, your choice is Rockettes or McDonald's. You know, so you have to be very careful. You have to be a well-rounded dancer. So any opportunity that comes along, you can grab it and you can say, hey, yes, I can do that. And I think it makes the dancer happier, too, because they have more options. And life after dance, life after being a dancer. Some people succeed and some people don't, but that's not the end of your dance career. We need dance studios. We need dance trainers. We need choreographers. We need musical theater experts. We need ballroom trainers. You know, there's so many options for teaching in your own studio. or in the many, many places that need directors and choreographers. So that is my advice. I try to teach everyone to be prepared for everything. Don't have just one narrow path. And it seems to work. You know, I have a ton of professionals out there, you know, from dance to studio owners to producers, directors, you know, they're all out there. So I think it's very important to stress that.
Yeah, that's a nice legacy. So Lynn, is it my understanding that the books came about because of the pandemic? Is that when you started writing them? Could you talk about your books?
Surely did. I was in the pandemic. I happened to go and visit my young son, and he has a lot of land in Northern California. And a month after I arrived, the pandemic had hit. And so I was in the middle of wildlife during that pandemic, and he was an overbearing, wanted to trade places and become my father. I think he took such good care of me and isolated me. So, you know, there was nothing. It was like I was telling Larry earlier, my choices were be creative on the computer and do some writing or go out and teach the coyotes how to plié. Those were my choices. So I chose writing, and I just wanted to first tell a positive story and give a lot of options to real young babies. And then I went into educational writing for the young ones so they could understand dance terminology. So, you know, those two things turned into three volumes of learning my dance words and three other just fun-filled children's books. And I don't know. I'm not a writer. I don't know how I did it.
Who did the illustrations for you?
I did them. I did them all.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I did. You could tell, I think. No, maybe not. I don't know. But it was, it kept me busy and it kept me occupied. And so then I decided to pursue that and do that. I've been doing that ever since, actually. Until most recently, I've started a nonprofit. I'm back in the studio. I'm not in my own studio, but I work a lot at the Lou Besnick Art Center and for them, for the basics of theater. I'm in a dance studio here in Chesterton, training the dance kids. And now I've started a nonprofit, Support Performing Arts, that we're trying to raise money to help young artists, you know, get the education they need. So that's keeping me pretty busy right now,
I would say.
Quite a legacy there. I was curious way back, and I wanted to ask you this question. Have you ever appeared in roles on stage, whether in high school or, you know, in an actual or you seem to come to theater later in your life. So, but did you ever appear in a role?
No, I did not. I did a movie, NBC Movie of the Week. I came on as a choreographer and then ended up as an extra and then ended up, you know, at the spur of the moment as a choreographer to have a part in the movie that was in a bar on a dance floor. So that was pretty interesting. But I have always just been happy creating. My true love is to create, whether it's dance or theater or mentor young ones from two left feet to professionals. It just gives me a really good warm feeling to be able to create.
Yeah, it keeps your creative juices flowing. I'm retired from theater for like 41 years and some level all the way along, so I know the feeling. Well, in our last about minute here, tell us how people can find out, first of all, about you, but also your support, performingarts.org, where they can find out information about that.
There's a website, supportperformingarts.org. You can go there, get all the information you need. We just recently launched. I'm very excited about it. We're getting ready to do some concerts as fundraisers and do some workshops and invite a lot of the kids and older and adults. There's an adult section as well. And to come in and get some extra training, which none of it costs anything. If you audition and you make it into the group, then everything, of course, is free. That's the purpose of the nonprofit. So we're just kind of out into music and theater and dance, and we're trying to just make it grow in our area.
That's great.
Oh, that's lovely.
Well, you can find that at supportperformingarts.org, and you can find out about that. Also, your books are available on Amazon, so if you want to pick up some interesting books that Lynn has not only done the illustrations, but writing is a great way to introduction to dance and just kind of a feel-good. Lynn, thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air. It's been very special for me to finally connect with you directly. We've always kind of circled in the same universe, but never been to that. So thank you for coming on the show and sharing your art and dance journey.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Art of the Year non-broadcast podcast interview. You may find every one of our past, current, and some of our future weekly episodes on the LakeshorePublicMedia.org website or at breck.com/AOTA. We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operation for Lakeshore Public Media, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Ember Forge Consulting, Thoughtful Marketing and Digital Learning built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. And for WVLP, Walt Reitinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.